Hey everyone, welcome back to LOL Storytime. It's the Goofy Story Podcast for kids. I was hoping to come on here today and tell you I finally caught up on reading all of your comments and emails, but I'm still way behind. I'll eventually get there, so please keep them coming. Also, I've noticed a lot of messages lately asking if I can post more often, and believe me, I would actually love that as well. But right now, even releasing one episode per week is a struggle. I spend all day working with kids, then I come home to be with my own three kids, and then I have a small window of time at night when I work on the podcast. That may eventually change, but for now, this is the best I can do. Today's story is called Saving Up, and features characters named after listeners Hattie, Bear, Shepherd, and Dottie. Bono shoutouts this week for David, Jack, Bella, Augustus, Finn and Isla, Morgan, Koa, Smith, Conrad, Anna and Caleb, as well as Cameron from Canada. And finally, happy birthday at the end of the month to Hatif. I hope you all enjoy this one. Let's get into it. This is the story of the most popular toy that existed 1,000 years ago when kings and queens ruled over the land. A young villager named Hattie had just received word that a cool new toy was about to hit toy stores.
"Mom, Dad, the new XD-1000 comes out tomorrow. I absolutely need to have this thing. I'll do whatever it takes, even if that means I have to spend my parents' money."
"XD-1000? What kind of toy is that?" asked her father.
"The XD-1000 is a technological marvel. Get this. They figured out how to make a doll out of wood. Can you believe that? So futuristic, right?"
"A wooden doll, you say?" Hattie's dad looked pensive. "Hattie, that sounds expensive. Besides, whatever happened to you and your friends just playing with sticks? Now sticks we can afford."
"Dad, sticks were so last year. It's all about wooden dolls now. I bet in 1,000 years they still won't have topped wooden doll technology. It's just so advanced."
Hattie's mom chuckled.
"Hattie, dear, it sounds like a lovely toy, but perhaps one that is better suited to the wealthy children living in the castle. I just spent our last several shillings on wool to make you some very itchy sweaters. If you really want this doll, you'll have to consider getting a job."
Hattie laughed at the idea of getting a job. She laughed even harder when she mentioned it to her friends later.
"Oh my gosh, guys. Can you believe my parents suggested I get a job? Me? A kid? Sometimes I wonder how my parents even graduated kindergarten."
Hattie's friends, Dottie, Shepherd, and Bear, nonchalantly explained that the three of them all had jobs. And in fact, tons of kids had jobs.
"Hattie, how do you think I was able to afford a wooden ball?" asked Shepherd.
"And how do you think I came up with enough money to buy my wagon?" asked Dottie.
"And how do you think I was able to afford this big hunk of medieval cheese?" asked Bear. "I'm out here eating cheese like a fancy person."
Everyone simultaneously turned toward Bear.
"Wait, Bear, you've been spending all your money on cheese instead of toys?"
Bear shrugged.
"Well, why not? It just so happens that I still like playing with sticks."
Well, Hattie certainly did not want to be the only non-job-having kid in the village. Dottie, Shepherd, and Bear explained that some of the best jobs to be had were at the castle. So that is exactly where Hattie decided to go. As she approached the drawbridge, two knights stopped her in her tracks.
"Halt! Who goes there?"
"Oh, hey, fellas. Just me, Hattie. You can call me Hattie. Anyway, you guys can pack up now. I'll take it from here. But first, do you know if they have that heavy armor in extra, extra small? If not, you know, I'm sure I'll grow into it."
The two knights looked at each other and then started laughing for an uncomfortable amount of time.
"All right, but for real, what is your business here? Is the king or queen expecting you?"
"Well, it's like I said. I figured maybe you might want to quit your job for a little while, or at least long enough for me to save up to buy an XT-1000. Unless you know of someone doing a free giveaway. Oh man, could you imagine how much better that would be if I just won the doll?"
The knights both responded with more prolonged laughter. One of them laughed so hard he lost his breath and needed to sit down. A familiar voice called over.
"Psst, Hattie, get over here."
It was her friend, Shepherd.
"Did you just offer to take their jobs? Girl, that is not how this works. You have to ask the king or queen first, and they'll decide what job to give you. You definitely won't start out as a knight either. At first it might be a lousy job, but then you can work your way up like I did."
Hattie was happy her friend was here to explain all of this. She was also relieved she had only asked to take the knight's job and not the queen's.
"Well, Shepherd, what is your job anyway?"
Shepherd pointed to the wide moat that surrounded the entire castle.
"I'm in charge of that."
Hattie squinted like she didn't quite believe her friend.
"No, I'm serious. Looking after the moat is a very important and well-respected job. Think of me as like a pool boy for the moat."
Hattie scratched her head.
"So you're a moat boy?"
"Well, I don't know if moat boy is the correct title, but basically yes. It's a lot different from a pool, though, because you can't clean moat water, nor can you even go in it because of the crocodiles." Hattie was still scratching her head trying to figure this out.
"So, if you can't clean the water, or go in the water, what is it you even do?"
Shepherd looked over at his moat, and was now scratching his head.
"Well, you know, my job is to be in charge of the moat, so like, I have to keep an eye on it and make sure it stays nice and moat-like."
If this was the kind of job one had to work their way up toward, this wasn't giving Hattie very much hope. That changed when she was finally granted permission to enter the castle and she got to see another one of her friend's jobs in action. The king and queen could not yet meet with Hattie because they were being entertained by the jester. A jester who just so happened to be her friend, Dottie. After the performance, Hattie had a chance to catch up with her friend.
"Wow, Dottie, that was amazing. I had no idea you knew how to be funny."
Thanks, said Dottie. "It's more than just telling jokes, though. Sometimes it can be downright embarrassing. Like when they ask me to purposely sing and dance like a total weirdo."
Hattie nodded her head.
"Well, now that I knew you were good at, but I just can't get over you knowing how to make someone laugh."
Hattie asked her friend how she'd gotten a job as the castle's jester, and Dottie, just like Shepherd, explained that she had worked her way up, starting with a much harder job. She then tried to convince Hattie that being a jester wasn't as great as it might seem. If she was ever having a hard time making the royal audience laugh, they would begin to throw tomatoes at her.
"Oh, that is awful, Dottie. Knowing you, you must get so many tomatoes hurled at you. You poor thing."
The king and queen met with Hattie and gave her the same talk about needing to work her way up to the good jobs. Hattie had a better idea.
"But what if just for fun I tried working my way down? Like, I could start at the tippy top as the boss of you guys. Do you guys even have a boss? If not, you have got to try it out. Being bossed around is just so exhilarating. You'll never feel more alive. And I can tell by the looks on both of your faces that I should probably stop talking and just take whatever job you're willing to give me."
The king and queen allowed Hattie to choose between what they proclaimed were the two worst jobs in the castle: the cleaner of the royal toilets or the food tester. Since air fresheners and flushing had yet to be invented, it was an easy choice. She was actually amazed that no one else had taken the food testing job. It really sounded like the best one yet. Except, of course, for being the boss of the king and queen. Because how else would she ever put an end to their tomato-throwing behavior? Over the weeks that followed, Hattie grew very familiar with the kitchen, where she spent a lot of her time. The cook was very friendly and never seemed to bother getting hammered with questions from a young girl.
"So, what is that for? And what does this thing do? Are you sure you're not burning that? Have you ever wondered what it would be like to cook a boot? 'Cause you did say you knew how to make anything taste good."
Hattie also liked that the kitchen was right next to the armory, which is where her friend Bear worked.
"Dude, so you're in charge of all the swords and weapons? That is too cool."
Bear told Hattie that the grown-up that worked there was in charge, and he just sort of helped out.
"Bartholomew used to let me handle the weapons,
But as you can see, a lot of this stuff is heavy, spiky, and sharp. Bartholomew got tired of getting me band-aids all the time, so he asked me just to stand still in one spot, and well, that's just kind of my job now. Sure enough, Bear had worked his way up to this position too, starting with some pretty terrible jobs before being offered a job in the armory. Hattie was cautious not to rub it in that the very first job she got was one of the best ones in the entire castle. Not only was her job super easy, but she got to taste some of the best foods she had ever eaten in her entire life. She also felt super helpful by giving the king and queen fair warning if the food was ever too hot. "Your Royal Highness, the soup is fantastic, but you're definitely going to want to blow on it, okay? We don't want to burn our royal tongues." And if the chef had ever skimped on the salt, she always had a secret salt shaker ready to go in her pocket. One day, during break time with her friends, Hattie could not contain her excitement.
"Guys, I absolutely love my job. I would even do this job for free. The food is incredible. It's like nothing you'd ever get down in the village. The royal sandwiches, the royal French fries, and nothing can compare to the royal spaghetti. It's like a birthday party in my mouth. I just don't understand how I got so lucky."
Shepherd, Dottie, and Bear looked at one another like they knew something Hattie didn't. Hattie, they gave you that job because no one else would take it. We wouldn't touch that job with a 10-foot pole." Hattie was confused. Were her friends saying this because they were jealous?
"Guys, maybe you weren't paying attention, but my job is the royal food tester, not the royal toilet cleaner. Why on earth would anyone not want to taste the royal food? Did I forget to mention the royal cake with the buttercream icing and the pretty swirly things?"
Once again, her three friends exchanged concerned looks.
"Hattie, people don't want that job because it's up to you to find out if the king or queen's enemies have messed with the food somehow."
Hattie froze.
"Messing with the food? Would someone actually do that? How does one even mess with the food in the first place?"
"Think about it, Hattie," said Shepherd. So Hattie thought about it. She thought about the possibility of someone sneaking into the kitchen and messing with the really hot spices. She thought about someone dropping food on the floor and then putting it back on the plate, while purposely ignoring the 5-second rule. But worst of all, Hattie imagined the unthinkable.
Is it possible an enemy would ever lick someone's plate of food?
Hattie's stomach felt uneasy just thinking about it. At the next royal dinner, Hattie was a nervous wreck. Normally she'd be foaming at the mouth waiting to have a taste of the chef's fine cooking, but this time she wanted nothing to do with what was on the king and queen's plates.
"Hattie, you're awfully quiet this evening," commented the queen.
"Yes, do make haste and try the first bite," ordered the king.
Hattie squirmed.
"Yeah, no, I don't think I need to. I just have a really good feeling that nobody has messed with this one. Has that ever happened to you, where you can just feel it? Anyway, I guess that means more for you guys, right?"
The king and queen looked at each other.
"Hattie, we need to watch you eat the food to be sure the food is safe. That's how this works. Now please hurry up, we are both so very hungry."
Hattie was now squirming so much it looked like she was trying to dance.
"Actually, Your Majesty, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I ate way too much before I came here and I'm super stuffed. Like one more bite and my stomach might actually explode."
"That doesn't sound like you," said the king, "especially when you knew it was Royal Tater Tots night. Anyway, I'm sure you'll manage just fine having one small bite."
Hattie was running out of options, and all of the squirming was actually making her hungry. She reluctantly took out her testing fork and picked up one of the royal tater tots from the king's plate. Hand trembling, she began raising the tater tot toward her mouth. She opened wide, but instead of taking a bite, she let out a loud screech and flung the royal tater, sending it flying through the air. The tater tot landed on the queen's royal crown.
"Your Royal Majesty, whatever you do, do not eat that food. I have reason to believe that one of your enemies has licked the food.
I think I also got a whiff of that really fiery hot sauce. So, like, yeah, just don't eat the food. I'll go have the chef prepare something else.
Hattie raced back to the kitchen and tried to explain what had happened, but the chef refused to listen. He mostly just did not want to make another meal after having just cleaned up. He suggested Hattie check the royal garden for fresh vegetables and wished her good luck. No amount of begging could convince him to stay.
"But I've never even made a peanut butter jelly sandwich before, and especially not a royal one."
Hattie raced around the castle, rounding up her friends. Perhaps between the four of them they could make something edible. They collected a variety of vegetables from the royal garden and placed them in a large pot that Hattie had seen the chef use many times.
"But Hattie, how will you know what spices to use?"
Hattie thought for a moment.
"I think the first rule of cooking is that you're supposed to add a little of this and then a little of that. Next, you add a pinch of this and a dash of that. As for which one is the this and which one is the that, well, we'll just have to guess."
After numerous spills and a small fire, they finally had something that sort of looked like cat food. No one dared try it, except for Hattie.
"Guys, I literally do this sort of thing for my job every day. There's nothing to be... Oh my gosh, that was disgusting! I'd rather have eaten the tater tot that had been on someone's tongue than whatever that was."
Hattie could hear the king and queen hollering from the dining hall and realized there was no time left to attempt a royal sandwich. Bear, Shepherd, and Dottie followed in tow, worried for the fate of their friend.
"Hattie, what took you so long? This is preposterous," wailed the king.
"Sorry, Your Majesty. I had to make this delicacy myself using ingredients from the royal garden. I call it the royal meow meow."
The king and queen began shoveling food into their mouths, and much to the kids' surprise, they didn't stop after the first couple of bites, nor did their faces turn green. They cleared their plates and asked for more.
"Hattie, this was the best meal we've ever been served," announced the queen.
Hattie smiled proudly.
"Does this mean I'm ready for my first job promotion? Do you think I'm ready for the job I was telling you about? Remember? Boss of the king and queen?"
The king waved his hand in the air.
"Actually, Hattie, you're fired. If a kid can make food that good, then maybe we can too. Making our own food will be the best way to ensure that it doesn't get messed with. So that means we no longer have need for a food tester."
The queen reached for something from behind the dining table.
"We heard you had been saving for something special, so the king and I would like to give you this for all of your hard work."
In the queen's hands was the XT-1000, the most beautiful thing Hattie had ever seen, and man, was it futuristic.
"Your Majesty, that is a most kind gesture, but there's actually something I would like to have even more than that doll. In all the weeks that I worked here, I never heard either of you crack one single joke. If you'd please, for my final payment, could you entertain my friends and I with some jokes?"
The king and queen both blushed.
"Oh, certainly. No one has ever asked that of us. But to be honest, I'm not too sure we're even all that funny."
Hattie just smiled and quietly revealed to her friends what she'd been secretly hiding behind her back. 4 of the plumpest, juiciest tomatoes from the royal garden. The end.
That's the story. I hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to get in touch with the podcast, you can send your emails to feedback@lolstorytime.com. We'll catch you on the next one.